Log Talk Radio.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's Lee and Keys Real Talk, back with another episode, episode number 53. It's been about a week since the last time that we went live. I'm feeling pretty bad about that myself, so don't mind us. We just, you know, I got a schedule with Lee, and, you know, we got the life obligations, et cetera, so, and just out here living. But anyways, we're going to definitely be getting into some things tonight because we just had a crazy weekend of fights in the UFC that we're going to need to be talking about. And there's a lot of, I mean, they just had the 25th anniversary press conference, and the UFC pretty much announced every main event from now through the first week of second or third week in November, I think up to the November 10th, Cowboy and Mike Perry fight. I think that was the last one. Actually, no, it was the Frankie Edgar and Korean Zombie fight, which happened, I think, the fight night after that one. So they pretty much announced like a good 3 months of fights anyways. And before we get into that, though, Lee's going to have to – Lee, what's going on, bro? Hold on. I didn't even – how you doing, bro?
Oh, what's good, my man?
Getting ahead of myself.
Actually, the Donald Cerrone and Mike Perry fight is on the same card as the Frankie Edgar and Korean Zombie fight. So I'll be at that fight because it's here in Denver. So I can't wait for it. I can't wait to see my man Frankie live.
Oh, man, that didn't even occur to me. Wow. What are the odds that you get that Frankie comes out to Denver? What are the odds? Man, come on, man. That thing got to have been set up by somebody. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, man. Oh,
wow.
And your boy Curtis Blaze trying to get on that card, too.
Oh, word?
Yeah.
Because you know what's the funny thing about Curtis Blaze is that when other fighters that I use his style, I'm not really a fan of them. But when Curtis Blaze uses his style, I root for him every time.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I'm like, man, you definitely noticed that and just didn't say nothing. Because he's probably the only wrestler that I'm really like that I root for every time. I mean, I'm not going to get into some of the other ones because I'll just frustrate myself. So, yeah, Curtis Blaze, that's my only wrestler, dog. I think he makes a good point when he say the UFC probably wouldn't be attractive to fans. So I feel for him on that. But, I mean, it's kind of hard after a while when you just keep winning and you keep going up the rankings like he's going to. I think the next fight for him, maybe – if he hasn't fought Derek Lewis yet, I think that would be a good next fight for him. Because
I
can't really
fight
Derek Lewis just had the worst fighter ever, so he can't really make any demands about who he's going to fight. But Curtis Blaze is right under him anyways. I think he's ranked number 4 right now, and I think Lewis is like somewhere in 1 to 3. Oh, Lewis might even be 5, actually, 5 or 6. I think Curtis Blaze might be higher ranked than he is. So he would actually be almost gifted with that fight. But yeah, I think that's the one right there. Curtis Blaze and Derek Lewis. That'd be good. I mean, Curtis Blaze is tough too. He can take punches, so Derek Lewis gotta be able to do a little bit more than that, I think, to get him out of there. Plus, once he gets you down, it's not like Khabib, where he's going to sit on you for 4 rounds. I mean, he's going to have a 3-round fight and probably win the decision. Curtis Blaze, I think, kind of switches up the pace a little more. I feel like his opponents get the chance to stand up. I mean, either he, because you don't really know what's going on. Either did he let them get up because he wanted to get out of that position too, and kind of, or did they just get out of it? And his intention is to keep them down. So it's kind of really hard to tell, but it does seem like his fights do change pace more than a Khabib fight. I know that. So, anyways. Man.
Well, Curtis Blaydes is number 3 and Derek Lewis is number 2.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, and then Ngannou. Okay. So.
Ngannou is 4, Volkov is 5.
Yeah, and Ngannou should just go have a fight with his own conscious mind. He's fighting the demon within himself. Because after what Stipe did to him in Boston, I think his soul has been taken. And Stipe still holds Ngannou's soul. And until he offers to give it back, Ngannou will never be able to be that fighter. Like, can't even imagine him knocking somebody out right now. I feel like he's not able to throw punches. Can't even imagine they've even offered him anything, because I think that the UFC is scared at this point to offer Ngannou a fight, because after that last thing, they're probably scared to offer Derek Lewis a fight too. That's probably why we won't see the Curtis Blaydes match for a little bit. But, I mean, in the future, that might be the next one, because it makes sense. You know, they've both been winning other than that. Even if it's not an impressive win. But yeah, man, shout out to that.
Yeah,
let me not get too...
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah,
I've
seen Ngannou probably fighting... I've probably seen Ngannou fighting Volkov sometime either later this year or early next year, because Ngannou is 4 and Volkov is 5. And then I think another guy we got to keep our eye on is Ty Tuivasa and also Marcin Tybura. I think them guys are up and coming. So I think all these older guys, man, you can see them probably falling in the rankings because, dog, they really not that skilled anymore. Like Overeem, Dos Santos, Orlovsky, Hunt. You'll probably see all them guys move down while the younger guys move up. So, but I'm all about the new blood, so let's see what happens. But I wouldn't mind seeing Curtis Blaydes versus Derek Lewis. If they can make that happen here in Denver, that'd be great. But I think that'd probably be too fast of a turnaround for Lewis. Ben, I think their card is in November. So we'll probably see Blaydes versus Lewis probably first quarter next year. But Blaydes wants to fight on the Colorado card, so they might find him an opponent for the Colorado card, or he might just have to wait.
You know, I have two questions for you. So one, this is a statement / a question, but I think I'm just questioning because Anthony Smith, if you've watched the press conference, you know that, or you might've heard elsewhere that Anthony Smith is scheduled to fight, Volkan Ozdemir. Yeah. I forget when that is, but it's in the fall at some point. And when I saw that announcement, the first thing I could think to myself is, wow, Anthony Smith is fighting somebody who actually matters. It might be his first meaningful fight of his career. I mean, can't buy into this. Like, the UFC, they put these new guys who are much younger, much more athletic, stacked like a ton of bricks versus these old flabby guys, you know, pieces of meat slab, who punch drunk like Shogun Hua in there to be demolished by Anthony Smith. We don't even know how skilled he really is. And then they're talking about him like, you know, it's this great talent. I haven't seen anything from Anthony Smith. You fought 2 tomato cans. That's who you fought. You fought 2 washed up old guys. And I forget who he fought before that, but he was washed up too.
Rashad
Evans. He had 2 back-to-back wins. And I'm a big fan of Rashad, but you got to admit he's washed up, especially compared to Anthony Smith. That young athleticism versus Rashad, how many fights he's had versus and Shogun Hua, how many fights he's had? Come on, man, the UFC got to stop doing this. They put these old guys and let them go in there. And the funny thing is, it's not even funny actually. It's disgusting. It makes me so disgusted because somebody like Dana White will criticize, wants to criticize Oscar De La Hoya for making the Tito Ortiz and Chuck Liddell fight because he's scared for Chuck's health. And then while criticizing it, he's saying there's a reason why I told Chuck Liddell to retire years ago, because I was worried about his health. That's what Dana White said. But then he turned around and put these other guys pretty much from the same era as Chuck Liddell. Shogun Hua was around at that time. He's pretty much from that era. And Rashad Evans is from that era as well. Putting the same guys in there to be demolished by your young new talent, fresh talent. Is that not the same concept, but just flipped around?
Well,
you should be worried about all these
point.
Older guys. You should be worried about Overeem. Overeem shouldn't.
Yeah,
I see. Overeem. Nah, go ahead.
I see your point, but at the same time, you know, sometimes you have to take the old line out so the new line can take over the pride. So I think Shogun, his better days are behind him, so I don't think Dana White might get him one more fight, maybe in Brazil or something. I think Vitor Belfort, his better days are behind him. I think we'll probably see Anderson Silva maybe two more times. Michael Bisping, he knew when to bow out. I think now is just time for the old heavyweights to start bowing out, like Overeem, Dos Santos, Cain Velasquez, Mark Hunt, Stefan Struve, Andre Arlovski. It's time for all them guys to you know, go ahead and bow out gracefully. Don't die in the octagon fighting these young lions, man. It's more for you to do after you retire. You could have a job within the UFC. I mean, you got Rashad doing commentary. You know, Eve Edwards. I think that's his name. He do commentary. You know, he decided to hang it up because taking too many strikes and stuff like that. So, yeah, Dana White is a little bit hypocritical with that, but at the same time, I think me and you said this before, sometimes you got to let a fighter go out on his sword. And Dana White basically, I think Diego Sanchez, he made him retire. He made Chris Lieben retire. He did make Chuck Liddell retire. So it's time to show some of these guys the door, man, and let these young lions run the pride, or, you know, let them see what they can do on the Serengeti. It's time for new blood in the UFC, man. It's just time.
Well, that's a good point, but that does not change my mind on Anthony Smith. This is still his fight with Volkan Ozdemir.
His
first fight that means a rat's ass in his whole career. So, well, at least in the UFC
right,
career,
Keith,
I don't
let me ask
care
you a question.
Really where else he fought at. No, hold on. Let me finish.
Let me ask you a question.
And he needs to decisively beat Volkan, which I don't have faith in him. I think my man Volkan's gonna win that one. I'm gonna go against your boy Anthony Smith, and I'm gonna tell you that he needs to decisively knock out Volkan, or he needs to look great and just win on the points. He needs to. Or I don't believe it.
No, but the way you question Anthony Smith is the same way we question Ozdemir. When he fought DC, we was like, yo, he ain't ready yet. So you got two guys in there that are basically young, and we really don't know whether or not they have the potential or what their skills can be. I think Ozdemir, hopefully he learned a lesson from his fight for DC, but I don't think he wants to stand and bang with Anthony Smith either. That's how Anthony Smith has got his last two opponents up out of there. It's about him wanting to stand and bang with him. So, but Ozdemir didn't show us anything that he could wrestle. So,
his last two opponents were about 90.
Yeah, combined.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's still old. That's extremely old.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think Ozdemir needs to look good, too.
That put no stock in that. I'm gonna use your famous words. I put no stock in that, Lee.
Yeah, no stock.
I put
no
stock in those two.
I ain't buying none of that. Yeah.
The UFC want to have that marketing plan, Anthony Smith, but I call it that fake news. So I see a win over a guy who's young and athletic like him. I don't care. Fake news. One thing Ozdemir did, he fought Jimmy Manuel. I didn't believe in him until he fought Jimmy Manuel.
Yeah,
when
he did.
Knocked out Jimmy Manuel in the first round, I was like, okay.
Yep,
because
Manuel
is a guy who, you know what I'm saying? He's not washed. He's fresh. That guy's still got years in him. I think I'm going to look that up, how old is Jimmy Manuel. Anyways, he got a fight coming up, too.
Yeah, he's fighting Manuel was fighting Glover Teixeira.
Yeah. Glover Teixeira is too old too, man. They got to stop with all these guys. Glover Teixeira shouldn't even be in there anymore. He's getting to that point. If Manuel knocks him out, they got to sit down and talk with Glover Teixeira, bro. It's too much with this guy. I think 34 MMA fights, it might be enough. I think it's good. Especially when you start to see that decline in your career.
And I think a lot
got
of
like
guys,
50 fights, and look at
him. Man, that's crazy. Oh.
But you know that he took one too many fights.
Keith, did you see the Alex Perez fight that was on the undercard?
The who?
The Alex Perez fight. This dude threw 177 punches. This was on the card on this past week's card.
Hold on, bro. We didn't get to that yet. We're getting to that because the people don't know that.
Hold on.
Hold on.
All right. But I just had to say, this guy threw 177 punches, dog, in 3 minutes and 45 seconds. That's unheard of in the UFC.
Wow.
How
many seconds?
177 punches, 3 minutes and 45 seconds. He threw 177 punches, dog.
Must have been exhausted.
Man. One of my coworkers, he was like, "Yo, did you see the Alex Perez fight?" And I was like, "Man, who is Alex Perez?" And he sent me the link, and I watched it. I was like, "Oh my God, this guy is crazy!" He almost threw 200. He finished the guy with 1:13 left in the first. So, man, it was just ridiculous. But yeah, go ahead, man. What was you about to say? I just wanted to throw that nugget out there because a lot of people might not have saw his fight.
You see, that's the thing. Like, Manuel's fought and KO'd some young guys, too. I mean, he knocked out OSP. He knocked out Corey Anderson. Like, he beaten some guys who was like,
he got some names on his record.
Oh, and Manuel fought Rumble, too. I didn't know that. He lost. Yeah, Rumble knocked him out.
Oh, yeah,
he
almost got his head
took off.
Yep.
I'd like to see Anthony Smith fight Rumble, this guy, because he likes to fight all these old men. He should fight an actual – Rumble was that guy for a while.
Whew. Man, when he hit Alex Gustafson, I thought he was going to take his head off of his neck. Because, man, the way his head was rocking back, I was like, oh, my God. I'm glad the referee stopped it. We might have seen a rare decapitation in the ring.
Yeah, so what Lee would just kind of give a hint to a little bit before was asking me, I didn't see that fight because I didn't watch the card this past weekend, and I think on our last show I had told Lee that I probably wasn't going to be watching it. I don't know if I said it on the show or if we just talked on the phone and I told you I might not be watching it, But what happened was that there was a block party. I was at a block party all day and night on Saturday, and there was no way of me watching it on any TV. I mean, I wasn't too interested to watch it anyways, to be honest. I wasn't, like, pushing. I mean, because if I did go out of my way, I probably could have watched it. I could have made a little bit of – put a little bit of push and was able to watch it that night, but I didn't. But I did have a really enjoyable time anyways. I got drunk, you know. We was pretty wavy over there, smoking a little weed, you know. It was nice. Man, it was not a bad night. And but anyways, though, the card, I guess, had some crazy stuff go down. That's what I was introing the beginning of the show. And I based the description of this episode off of what I need. We need to talk about here, which is the most important part of the show. Lee's going to lead us into that. Well, I'm going to lead into it, but Lee's going to do all the – he's going to lace us with everything. So – Was this the main event or the co-main event? There was a huge upset. I don't know. Maybe it was the main event. There was a huge upset in the main event.
That was the co-main event.
And
that was the co-main event.
All right. So it was main event material. It seemed like the main event. But anyways, and I think this one was probably more of a fight than the main event, because I heard that if that wasn't the main event, then the main event was T.J. Dillashaw knocking out Cody Garbrandt in the first round. So everybody knows a one-round knockout isn't really much of a fight. I mean, you're seeing a quick knockout. It's not really much of a fight. I mean, it's exciting if you're there live. I can speak from experience. I mean, the knockout fights are exciting live. Plus, I mean, you're standing there for so long, kind of gets the event moving on. Because when you're watching, you know, 15-minute fight, then another 15-minute fight, it does kind of drag on after a while. But watching it on TV, I mean, I have no problem watching, you know, a pretty decent striking match or, you know, different types of skill sets, as long as the fight is keeping a pace and not just, you know, hugging it out to the point where the referee's got to, like, try to break them apart. I mean, those kind of things are just a snooze. But, yeah, the main event wasn't much of a thing. But I guess the co-main event, Demetrius Johnson had a 5-round battle with rematch with Henry Cejudo. And Lee, since you watched it and this is your guy, tell them what happened, because I didn't even see the fight.
Me and my boy, we were sitting there, we was watching the fight. I said at the end of the fourth round, I said, if it's close, they're going to give it to Cejudo. He told me no, they're going to give it to DJ. I said, there's no way that if this fight is close, they're going to give it to DJ. So I had DJ winning round one. I had Cejudo winning rounds two and three. I had DJ winning rounds four. And I had DJ winning round five. But two of the judges had a 29-28 Cejudo, and knew it's Henry Cejudo in the flyweight division. Now, me and you have talked about this before, and when you watch the guys after the fight, it don't even look like Demetrius Johnson was even in a fight. Whether it looked like Cejudo was in two fights. But that's neither here nor there. My whole issue with the UFC scoring is takedowns. I think they put way too much stock in takedowns. It's like, if you take me down and I get back up, is that really a takedown? If you take me down and you don't maximize your position, should you really get extra credit for taking me down? But am I shocked that he lost? No, because I called it. Am I shocked by the way that he lost? Yes. Because he didn't look like DJ. He didn't look right. Cejudo pressured him a lot, but DJ kind of withstood the pressure and got off his own shots. You know, he looked good. Like I said, the first, the fourth, and the fifth rounds. But, you know, congratulations to Cejudo beating the greatest champion in UFC to date. But in my opinion, I think the UFC, this is what they wanted. They didn't want DJ to win. It's kind of crazy that you went back your most dominant champ and you just got ill. It seemed like the UFC have ill will towards him. But it is what it is. Hopefully DJ, he tore his LCL and sprained his foot during the fight. He said he's going to take some time off to get healed up. And then when he come back, we'll see what happens. I tweeted this, that the UFC probably will not get him an immediate rematch because that's just the way they do business. If they like you, they give you what you want. If they don't, they make you jump through hoops to get what you deserve. So congratulations to DJ for being a great champion. Congratulations to Cejudo for probably fighting the best fight he probably could ever fight in his life. UFC, I normally don't talk like this on the air. Go suck a dick, because what y'all did to DJ is totally unprofessional. The way y'all treated him is unprofessional. And y'all would never realize what you got in this guy until he finally hangs it up. So that's all I got to say about that. And I think next on their chopping board is probably Tyron Woodley. So they're going to find a way to probably try to screw Tyron Woodley. So I'm probably going to become the vice president of the Tyron Woodley fan club, because we all know Keys is the president of the Tyron Woodley fan club. So I'm all in on Tyron Woodley being a champ just to stick it to Dana White and the UFC.
And it's going to be even better when he beat Darren Till. It's going to be beautiful. And you know what? That fight is very close. I'm pretty sure it's about a month away. Darren Till,
what's that, October
6th? You done good. Oh, October 6th? I think it's in September. It's in September. What you mean?
What is it? September 3rd or something? Something like that. I can't remember what's the date of that.
September 8th. It's exactly a month away tomorrow. Yeah. It's going to be bad for him in there. It's going to be bad. Darren Till, you've done good, boy, to this point. But you win some, you lose some. And you're going to lose this one. But it's all right. You'll bounce back. I know you'll be great.
Yeah. That's
funny. What? I was thinking about this the other day, too. And I was like, it's episode 53. I was like, damn, we should have did this for episode 50. Because I was like, all right, what's the next, big episode? Episode 100? But I'm like, damn, that's like a year away. Like, I can't wait till episode 100. Man, we need to get my boy T-Wood on our show. We need to do it. I think it's possible.
I'll lobby him on Twitter. You lobby him on Instagram or Snapchat or whatever. So we got to put in that work.
I think I've seen him, his Twitter handle, a couple times. I'm pretty sure I don't even know if he's active on social media, but I thought I've seen him post his Twitter handle before somewhere, or somebody's picture responding to him to something. So maybe he's on something.
Okay.
But yeah, that'd be so dope.
Well, I gotta make my man Keys mad, y'all, because I'm looking at the fight card with Tyron Woodley versus Darren Till, and the main event, of course, is the Tyron Woodley versus Darren Till. Then you got Martano versus Valentina Shevchenko.
She is beautiful.
And then you got Jessica
Andrade
versus.
She is so beautiful.
Then you got Jessica Andrade versus Karolina Kovacevic. And then you have Carla Esparza versus Tiana Suarez. So you have.
Hey, that ain't a bad card.
Yeah, but I know how you feel about all those female fights, and I think all of them on the main card.
Cool with me, bro.
But then they got your boy, though. Yair Rodriguez versus The Beat.
Oh, yeah. Nah, that's a bank. That's a
oh, I like that fight.
Yeah, I like The Beat. I like The Beat, bro. Oh, I
oh,
see
my
you
God.
Were trying to play me.
Yeah, they got Aljamain on that card. They got Jimmy Rivera versus John Dotson on that card. Yeah, I know,
man.
My bad.
What are you doing? You just read the card upside down. I think. That's ridiculous. I think he just read the prelims and then he read the main card. He did that on purpose. Wow. Yeah, Jimmy Rivera, John Dotson. That's your boy, John. Oh. Hey, bro, you didn't tell me they had Jim Miller on the card? Come on, bro. How you hold that back?
Man, them Miller boys, they need to hang it up, too.
Jim Miller fought so many. Damn, he's 28 and 11. Jesus. Yeah, he fought a lot. He's fought everybody. Yeah,
him and his brother, man, you know, they some bangers, man. You know, him and his brother, man, they'd have been in there with the best of the best.
Oh, Aljamain Sterling, man, that's my boy. I'm excited to see him. Yeah, Rodriguez probably going to lose to The Beat, bro. The Beat's good. The Beat's real good. That's the problem with him is he'll just take – I mean, in his last fight, it kind of was, like, deceiving because – my boy Bogniak from Boston, he was kind of having an off night. He was just throwing, you know, sloppy strikes. And I mean, I feel like he was landing significant strikes on The Beat, but it might be a mix of The Beat knows how to evade punches when he does take punches. I mean, he has a good chin, so he's hard. You can't just knock him out with just anything. And I see The Beat being like a flying knee kind of guy. Like, if you're going to KO The Beat, you got to hit him with a flying knee or some kind of like spinning back kick off cage like Showtime Pettis. Like, that's the only way you're going to knock him out.
You
got to
hit him with something he don't see. Yep. You got to hit him with
something
he don't see. Something
crazy. Because I watch him and he's a smart guy. Like, when I seen him just standing there absorbing all the shots that Bogniak was throwing, I was like, yeah, this my boy lost this fight. Like, dude, this is the beat is good, bro. I can understand why he turned down the fight. I heard that a lot of guys are turning down the fight with The Beat because they don't want to get that loss on their record. So I mean, Yair's probably gonna lose. You know, Frankie Edgar kind of derailed his hype train, so I don't know if he can rise again from the depths. But we'll have to see. This is kind of a tough fight to take on you. Come back. But yeah,
well,
you know
Frankie has derailed
a
lot of people's train.
Yeah, he has. He definitely has. Man, that Nico Montano is beautiful. I can't take it.
Hey, man, Valentina Shevchenko looks so good in that press conference, dog. Oh, my goodness gracious. She had on that little half-green sweater, man. Oh, my goodness, boy. She was looking good, too.
See, the thing I don't understand about this is that a lot of people criticize men for, like, this is confusing because, like, on one end of the spectrum, girls want to be, like, okay, so when I'm talking to people, like, in society, like, on the street, like, I'm talking about the UFC, and there's, like, a casual, like, female fan, she's going to watch the UFC with me. They usually, like, a lot of like, feminists and stuff like that, like, they'll vouch for that equality, like, in sports, which would be including MMA, so including UFC. So, like, they would be happy that there's, like, you know, all these women's divisions rising and stuff like that. In new women's champions and you know, greatness here and there. But then, like, at the same time is, like, you want to be, and I don't want to go into this too much, but it's just, like, you want to be accepted with the men. So we're going to pay attention to your skills. And at the same time, it's, like, don't forget that y'all are still beautiful. And we're going to talk about your looks because, That's just what it is. I mean, you could do the same thing with anybody else. The same way that, you know, a lot of, I mean, I know this isn't probably on the same level as Nico Montano because her level of beautiful is almost unmatched. But, like, a lot of women, they look at Tom Brady, like where I'm from, they think Tom Brady's handsome. Like, they'll talk about sports superstars in that similar fashion. The same way that when some of these women get out there, I'll be telling Lee, like, man, she is so beautiful. I'm rooting for her in this fight. Like, I'll be doing that just based off, you know what I'm saying? But I can look at her, I can look at both sides. And I feel like women do the same thing to men in other sports where it's like, you know, male dominant. You feel what I'm saying? Am I going anywhere with this? Because am I making any sense here?
I mean, I get it. I mean, basically, to me, I feel what you're saying is like when I watch the women fight, of course their skills ain't, you know, they ain't as big and powerful as men. I ain't going to say their skills. They ain't as big as powerful as the men. But, yeah, a lot of them are beautiful women. I mean, you look at them, too, like, wow, she's still fine. I mean, you know, with the exception of a cyborg, you know. But, but at the same time, you know, it's amazing how some of them are well put together. I mean, Claudia's fine. Jessica Eye's fine. Paige Van Zandt. Misha Tate was fine. Shevchenko, oh my God, when she walked across that stage last Thursday or Friday, man, good Lord, that girl fine too. You got Nico, she's fine. I mean, hell, you know, it's just what it is. What it is. I mean, that's something that's gonna come with the territory. If when you're a lady. Even when, I mean, I'm a big fan of WNBA, even though I know most of them are into chicks, but some of them are still pretty good looking. So it is what it is. I mean, you know, we're not objectifying them. We're just making an observation that, you know, they're good looking as well as being good athletes.
Yeah, I think that's
what you were trying
really
to say.
Yeah, exactly. That I couldn't figure out how to, like, get to the punch of what I was thinking of, but that's what I meant. Like, just because we're admiring and saying that they're beautiful when they, you know, get in the octagon doesn't mean that, like, that we're saying that that's all you're there for, is that, like, it's a fashion show. Like, you can have incredible skills and be a UFC champion. Like, we're not doubting it because don't think that we're going to, you know, not look at you in that way because you're in the octagon. Like, you want to get that on, like, you want to be treated and looked at the way that the males are, but just realize that, like, it could be flip reverse and you could be, you know, it could be looked at the same way for you. It just depends on each person's perspective. Like, of course, we're not looking at the men like that because we're straight. Like, we're not,
exactly,
we are not homosexual. Like, we would not be looking at the men and saying, wow, he's so handsome. I'm not going to say that. Like, we're going to look at y'all and be like, wow, they're so beautiful. Damn, she is fine. Like, of course, we're going to say that. You don't forget that y'all are beautiful. You can knock me out with your hands or just with your the aesthetics, with your appearance. I'm knocked out just from that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I got a little bit, you know. What I want to ask you, too, this is, you know, way off, but did you watch the press conference when they announced Khabib versus McGregor at the end? Did you watch the
– Yes.
I mean, you know about the Nate
Yeah.
Diaz and how you
Dustin
feel about
Poirier.
The Dustin Poirier and Nate Diaz fight?
All right. I kind of like the way Dana ended the press conference with the announcement of the Khabib versus Conor fight because, you know, we all been speculating when that fight was going to happen or if it was going to happen. And being that it's going to happen in probably like almost 70-some days that the UFC actually pulled it off. But at the same time, I think Nate Diaz, he had a point as far as, you know, the UFC, you know, last minute asking him to be at the press conference And then they last minute, you know, telling him who he gonna fight. But at the same time, I'm at the point now where I'm over the Diaz brothers, man. It's like, either you guys want to fight or you don't. And the UFC ain't going to keep bending over and kissing your ass trying to get you to fight in the octagon when it seems like you guys don't want to fight. Nate was offered Tyron Woodley. He turned that down. Nate was offered, I think he was offered a Khabib fight. He turned that down. It's like, I understand Nick's part because Nick is still fighting with USADA. But Nate, man, it's enough is enough, dog. It's either you want to fight or you don't. If you don't want to fight, just go ahead and retire, man. Just tell the UFC you don't want to fight no more. And then he said it was something about he had a legal issue that prevented him from fighting. Nobody ever heard about that. And as much as we're on social media and we keep up with the MMA world, I have never heard of anything that he had legally against him that was permitting him from fighting. So, I don't know, man. I would love to see the Nate Diaz versus Dustin Poirier fight, but something in me telling me that, I mean, I already heard that Nate said he ain't going to fight, and then the UFC came back and said it wasn't true. But I just think it's something to me that Nate ain't going to fight because the only thing he wants to do is fight Conor for a third time. And as much as I hate Conor, I don't think Nate can't beat him. Nate can't beat him unless he get him to the ground. And that's just the bottom line.
Yeah, but you see, this is the thing, though, is that, see, the most interesting part about this is that anybody who's a Nate Diaz fan argues with Keys when we bring this up because they always want to tell me that Nate won the second fight. And I want to tell you this. If you think he won that second fight, I don't want to watch UFC with you anytime in the future because I don't know what kind of debauchery bullshit that you are watching, because in no way did Nate win that fight. And you know how that even further proves is because it is further proven because Nate Diaz was asked by the press right before storming off the stage. Okay. They asked him, could we see a trilogy fight with you and Conor? And what did he say?
He goes, I already beat him twice,
so I'm not concerned about a third fight right now. Trying to be a tough guy, you know, like he didn't care about the Conor fight. Like you didn't just sit out for 2 years because you weren't getting the Conor fight. You were waiting for it. Man, I'm so sick of this whine and cry baby, man. You know what? And then he has his card pulled right after that. Because when they announced the Khabib and McGregor thing, I heard everybody and their mother say that Diaz stormed off the stage, and now he's out saying that, you know, he's not sounding so optimistic about the fight with Poirier and telling TMZ, you know, if I feel like it, you know, maybe I'll fight at UFC 230 if I'm feeling up to it or whatever. Get this guy out of here, man. That's ridiculous. If he actually believed that he won the first two fights, if he truly believed that, wasn't just saying that to be a tough guy in front of all the press and to try to feel like he had the upper hand on Conor, like he was ever the A-side, if he felt like all that and truly believed all that, then why would you get mad when they announce another McGregor fight with another lightweight in your division? Why would you be mad that you weren't, you know, they didn't wait for you to fight, or that they didn't offer you Conor trilogy for Madison Square Garden? Clearly, he thought that, or that's still what he wanted. And why would you want a third fight if you believe you won the first two? That'd be like TJ Dillashaw, you know, them asking, oh, do you want to have a trilogy? But he actually did beat Garbrandt twice. He finished Garbrandt two times. I mean, that's also a very different, you know, scenario than Nate and Conor's fights. I mean, they beat each other in different ways, you know, on two different occasions. Dillashaw finished Cody twice, but still, he knows that he won twice. If you ask Dillashaw, oh, you're going to have a trilogy fight with Cody Garbrandt, he would turn around and say, why would I want to fight him again? I just knocked him out twice. But that actually happened, though. Like, Nate just tells himself that he won twice. He doesn't believe it. It's not solidified. In history, he lost the second fight. The judges scored it. He lost the second fight. But, you know, man, I don't want to get too – I know I had to go off just a little bit, but – so what
good.
I'm confused about –
I'm following you.
What I wanted to just ask you, because they have Yoel Romero is fighting Paulo Costa. I don't know if you saw that announcement at the MSG. And then you have the crybaby and Dustin Poirier fight, you know, if he actually makes it to the cage. So that one's supposed to happen.
Yeah.
And then there's one more fight. I'm trying to think. My boy Israel Adesanya is fighting Derek Brunson. So those three, and that's going to be a banger. So those three fights are already booked for Madison Square Garden. But when I look at those three fights, I mean, they're all good fights. They all have potential to be good fights. I mean, like, Yoel Romero and Paulo Costa is probably going to be a war that somebody might get vision. Like, that might be a bad knockout. Like, that might be, like, a scary-looking fight. Like, if that goes to a decision, I'll be very surprised. I mean, not that, like, both of them guys have knockouts, and, like, they both have, like, a lot of power. But, I mean, it doesn't mean nowadays you don't have to knock each other out. I mean, the fight can go another way. What I'm saying is that, like, those three fights, though, none of those are, at least I don't think, main event caliber for Madison Square Garden, especially, like, after the last two cards they had, you know, in 2016 and 2017, how big those cards were, like, all the star power that was there, especially in the main events. So what do you think is going to happen with the – I mean, are those three main card fights? I mean, I know Nate Diaz – I know Crybaby fight is probably going to be main card. I don't know about the other two. I mean, I think those could be – because those cards, they like to stack them so high that they'll even stack the prelims. You know how they like to do that. The UFC will stack the prelims on those big cards. So it feels like you have, you know, 10 fights on main card level. What do you think is going to happen?
I think, like I said, I think Nate pulls out of the fight. I think the other two cards, I mean, I just don't know, man, because I was excited when you told me to watch the press conference because I never really watch them. But I was excited when they started, like, naming all the future fights. But I think if I had to pick one, I like the Yoel Romero fight because I want to – that's at 205, right? Isn't that going to be at 205?
No, I think that's at one. I think that's at middleweight. I think Paulo Costa is a middleweight because Paulo Costa was just calling out Chris Weidman, who's a middleweight. So I don't think they would go up.
Because I could have sworn.
I don't think he would want
to
go up.
I could have sworn Dana White wanted Yoel to go up to 205 because he ain't made weight his last two fights. But I think the fight that we really need to be talking about is probably Chris Weidman versus Rocco. I think that's going to be a hell of a fight. And
I didn't remember that one.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a hell of a fight. I mean, they got a lot of good fights coming up, but
you think any one of those four fights is either main event or co-main event caliber for Madison Square Garden? I mean, like, last year they had three title fights. I mean, it was pretty much like triple headlined by three like giant title fights. So like that's kind of hard to follow up. You need like at least two title fights.
I think Nate Diaz versus Poirier. Yeah, I think Nate Diaz versus Poirier could be a co-main event. But I think the co-main event for the MSG card is probably going to be Weidman versus Rocco. But if I had to put my money on it, I would go with the Dustin Poirier versus Nate Diaz fight being start off as the co-main event at MSG. But Nate is so wishy-washy that you just don't know what he's going to do. So, I don't know, man. I would put my money on Nate and Dustin, but I'm thinking it's going to be Weidman and Rockhold as the co-main event, and they probably have a title fight out there. So,
I mean, because the other day I was just thinking about this, and I was trying to, like, cycle through all the champions who have fought lately, and I was like, really, what champion would even be ready or doesn't have a fight scheduled, like, shortly after the MSG card that could, like, end up on this? And the only ones that come to mind is maybe the Amanda Nunes and Cyborg fight. I could picture that, but the only thing that tells me that wouldn't, because I think Cyborg would be down. I know she wants to fight, like, every other week. So, like, Cyborg, I would think, would sign the contract. Amanda Nunes, I heard, was looking to fight at UFC 232, which is the event in Vegas at the end of December, like the last card of the year before the new year.
Yeah, she said, like, she wanted to fight later this year. Yeah, she said she wanted to fight later this year because she wanted to get her body, see how her body reacts with the extra weight on it. But hell, she walking around at probably about 150, so what the hell? I mean, you already know how your body going to react. You only got to lose like 5 pounds, maybe 10 pounds at the most. So, come on.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if she wants to fight at the end of the year, then they don't get on there. I mean, the women's strawweight thing is already happening in a month. What's the other division? No, not the strawweight. The flyweight title fight is happening. The strawweight, I mean, maybe Rose Namajunas has a fight on MSG. I mean, she was on last year's. She hasn't fought since, like, April.
I think they probably bring her back at the end of the year, too.
End of the year?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, because that's the only, like...
Man, it's just so frustrating, man, because it's just too many events, Keys. It's just too many events, man. It's becoming so that if a fighter drops out of a fight, you got to go down to Dana White's Contender Series to find a replacement. You know, you got to go find somebody off the street to come and fight a guy. Whereas if you just limited your events, you will always have fighters on deck, you know, ready. But, you know, man, I guess, you know, you got to strike iron while it's hot. So that's the UFC doing by having all these events.
I mean, because I don't know, like, how long it takes them to get done with, like, a season of The Ultimate Fighter. But I did see that The Ultimate Fighter season for the Whitaker and Gastelum airs on, I think, August 29th. So I don't know, like, how long that show takes, because I know they like to let the season end and then the title fight will be, like, a couple weeks later between the coaches. So, I mean, if it can go for, like, I don't know how long, a month and a half, 2 months. I don't know how long those shows run. I don't even watch TV. But, like, maybe they could land Whitaker. Yeah, then, I mean, if they could land that, maybe they can get Robert Whitaker fight Kelvin Gastelum at MSG. That could possibly be a co-main event. And it's like the timing works out.
UFC released a statement saying that. I think they released a statement saying that Whitaker won't be ready the early next year.
Oh, man. So they got nobody. There's really nobody. I mean,
so that's what I'm saying, man. It's really hurting.
I mean,
because we don't have Max Holloway. Yeah, we don't have Holloway. We don't have Whitaker. The heavyweight, you know, DC ain't going to fight. And then the light heavyweight, you know, DC ain't going to fight. Yeah, so it's like you don't really have no champions out there. I think the UFC needs to go to oh, my God, I can't believe I'm going to say this. They need an interim champion in the 205 division, man. You got to have somebody with a belt that's willing to fight. And DC just ain't willing to fight. He wants to wait around to Brock Lesnar fight, so he can fight Brock Lesnar.
That's gonna be a
little
while.
Yeah, exactly.
They said if he was in the USADA testing pool like a month ago, that if he entered the USADA testing pool a month ago, that the earliest that he could possibly be like and able to fight would be, I think it was like the first or second week of January, if he entered it a month ago, because it's a 6-month process.
Well, according to him, he'd have been tested three times this month. But according to him, he's been tested three times this month already.
Oh, man. DC holding up not one division, but two. Should have.
Exactly.
Give the belt back to Stipe. Give the belt back to Stipe. Stipe would have fought on MSG.
Yep.
Stipe is the real champion.
DC doesn't want to fight, man.
DC, paper champion.
So it's like now, you know, the light heavyweight division is in a standstill. So I think After Uzdemir and them fight, Dana White needs to come up with a plan of attack. You know, don't nobody want to have no tournament. Don't nobody want that. Everybody know Gustafson is the number ranked, is the number one contender. So the UFC need to get something popped off. And DC already said he ain't gonna fight Gustafson. So yeah.
I mean, but even if you have an interim champion, they usually won't have the interim champion defend the belt. You just wait.
Yeah, like they was going to make Tony Ferguson do. Like they was going to make Ferguson do against Khabib.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of that, you just brought up a good point right there. What happened with Ferguson?
Ferguson's supposed to be fighting late on this year. Yeah, I think he's going to fight on the Moscow card, I think. I think he's going to fight on the Moscow card.
What Moscow card? You talking about the Fight Night card?
Yeah, the UFC Fight Night Moscow in Russia.
Wait, Ferguson's going to fight on Fight Night card? Who are you fighting?
They haven't announced his opponent yet.
Wow.
But if I had to guess...
I can't even think of who he could fight.
If I had to guess, I thought it would have been the winner of the Poirier-Alvarez fight. But being that Poirier is already slated to fight Nate Diaz, I'm going to go with Ferguson is going to fight Alvarez.
Oh, okay, yeah. I mean, I don't know if Alvarez is going to want to fight again this year. I mean, he just lost, right? Didn't he just get stopped? Didn't he just get knocked out by Poirier?
Yep.
Yeah, I think he did get finished. So I don't know if he's going to want to jump into, especially Ferguson. That's a dangerous fight. I mean, after being stopped by Poirier, I mean, Ferguson is not really a bounce-back kind of fight. I don't know. I think Alvarez should take I don't even know who he should take. I can't even figure it out. He should take Barboza.
I don't know about Barboza, man, because Barboza's a guy that when you start thinking down on him, he'll pull off an upset. When you want him to step up and accept the challenge of fighting the guy, he looks bad. I mean, because, oh, my God, against Khabib, he just was like a stick in the mud. It was, ugh. And then against Kevin Lee, he didn't look half bad. It's just you don't know what to ask of Barboza you're going to get.
Yeah, that's kind of the same thing with Cerrone.
Yeah. Yep.
Cerrone's kind of like that, too. When you expect Cerrone to win and lose, when you expect him to lose, he'll win. It's kind of crazy. Kind of like the Mike Perry fight. I don't really know who's going to win that one. Cowboy and Mike Perry could fight.
Your boy Dominique Cruz, which I predicted he would popped his head out of the grass this I want to say earlier this week, demanding a title shot at TJ Dillashaw. He's demanding a title shot against TJ Dillashaw. But when Cody was champion, he didn't even demand an immediate rematch. So I don't understand it. And then he flaked. And then he broke his arm right before the Jimmy Rivera fight. It's like, come on, Dominique, man. What
do
you think about
foot.
That? You think Dominique? No, he broke his arm.
No. All right, well, I think what I'm going to say is a little bit closer to what you were saying, but I think that, I was watching his, long interview. I wish he had a little bit. I didn't watch the whole thing because I can only deal with a few minutes of him, making his case for a title shot when we haven't seen him fight in, 2 years. It's kind of just sad, but and then the last time we saw him, he lost the belt. It's not even like he took a dangerous guy and lost. Like he didn't even try. And the funny thing is, when he was talking himself up about how he always, gives credit to all the top five in the bantamweight division, he was like, "Oh, I give them all credit where it's due, but they don't ever mention me or give me credit and how long I dominated the division and stuff." But you know what's funny? He named off all the guys except Cody Garbrandt, the guy who dominated him for 5 rounds to take his belt. He didn't name him.
Got his ass.
I know he got knocked out by TJ, but that does not mean that you won too. You got dominated by Cody. So, and I think the reason why is because there was a big difference in the Cody Garbrandt that showed up to those two fights. Because I think when he fights Dillashaw, it's a mental warfare thing, and he loses mental warfare because he fights too frustrated, and he goes out of his character and against his own style. As where he fought Cruz, he felt like the challenger because he'd never held the world title before. And Cruz was also, supposed to be this unbeatable guy, so he had to be so much more careful. Not like Cruz has knockout power, because he doesn't really knock guys out. Not like he was scared of that, but he just had to – you have to beat Cruz, strike for strike. And Cody was – you could tell in his style he was trying to – he was more evasive, and he was much more careful in his movement and placing his strikes and things like that. But, Cruz should – where's the Jimmy Rivera fight at? I think that's my response to Cruz. Can you give us the Jimmy Rivera fight? And if you do good there, if you maybe can win there, I don't even know. But, I think you can beat him. But I just want to see it because I just need to see it. I need to see you fight. I need another fight before that we can talk about that.
I don't want to see that.
I can't.
I don't want to see that. What I want to see is Cody versus Cruz 2, and I want to see Marlon Moraes versus TJ, and then I want to see the winner of the Dotson fight, the Dotson-Rivera fight. Because Rivera already lost to Moraes. Yeah, Moraes versus TJ, Cody versus Dominique, and then, that's what I want to see.
So you're saying have the winner of the Cruz and Garbrandt 2 fight the winner of TJ and Moraes?
Yeah, unless Cody wins, because nobody wants to see Cody fight TJ again. So if Cody wins, he'll probably have to fight Moraes. Or he'll have to fight a Sun Sal, because a Sun Sal is just the odd man out right now because Dominique Cruz decided to inject his name into the picture. So being that he was a dominant champion, I think you do have to give him some respect, but I think he should fight somebody before you just put him in before you just give him a title shot. I think Marlon Moraes deserves the title shot next.
I mean, I think I was saying I thought a Sunfow should fight Moraes. And I don't know what Cruz does. I'm not really thinking too deep into that. I just wanted to see a Sunfow and Moraes because they're two dominant guys.
I mean, yeah, like I just said, think of Sunfow style. I just think of Sunfow style. When you watching him fight, he's not going to like set your TV on fire, but he just does what he does, man. And he just does what he does. He's methodical. He's a counter puncher. He can fight off his back, and he got a lot of tools in his toolbox, but he's just not exciting, and that's probably why a lot of people don't really know anything about him, or probably don't think he probably deserve a title shot, is because of the style of fights he's fought, that he's fighting. But I'm with Moraes being TJ's next opponent, and I'm with probably, like I said, Cruz fighting Cody again. If Cruz wins, then he gets a shot at TJ or Moraes. If Cody wins, he only gets a shot at Moraes. If TJ wins, then Cody just has to fight Moraes or Sunfow, because he'll never get another shot at TJ because he's been very non-competitive against him. And he's got lunked out twice.
Yeah, I guess we'll just have to see what happens. Because we know none of those are on the table for Madison, for MSG either. Those will probably be all next year fights. I can't see TJ
Well, they
got to
have some kind of title shot. They got to have some type of title fight at MSG. They got to have some type of title fight. I mean, me personally, I think you can have good fights that aren't title fights that could hit, that could main event a pay-per-view. But, you know, the UFC called what they want to do with pay-per-views is have a belt up. So I really don't know how they're going to do it because what is this, August? And MSG is what, November 30th?
No. Sometime. I think it's the first week in November. It's November 4th.
November 3rd. Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know, man. I don't know who they can get to fight, unless is what you say. They put the Nunez versus Cyborg on that in New York. That's the only fight I can see them making, because with Max and Bobby Knuckles being hurt and DC not fighting, you really don't have that many title belts out there unless they put an interim title belt on the line for the light heavyweight division. And that way you can have Gustafson fight on that card. I mean, I don't know who he's going to fight, but
I think Holloway, I think if Holloway were to come back, that would be the savior of that card. But if not for Holloway, then
yeah,
that card is looking titleless and very light.
Yeah, because you had to have Holloway versus T-City on that card.
Because I get that it could be a good card, but it's not going to seem like, it's not going to have the same shock value as the last two Madison Square Garden cards, because the last one you had George St. Pierre headline for the middleweight title, and then the one before that you had Alvarez and McGregor headline for the lightweight title, and then the co-main event of that was my boy T-Wood and Stephen Thompson, if I'm not mistaken. And then last year you had the underneath GSP, you had the Rose and Joanna title fight, and then you had the I forget what was the other one, but there were three title fights last year, and then that was epic. So if they got to try to follow that up, because they want to sell out that arena, right? As in they didn't sell all the tickets, that would just be disappointing.
It's just going to be hard, man, because with two of your main champs out, it's going to be hard. I think you're right. I think Max Holloway could save it, with a fight with the fight against T-City. So that's going to be tough. It's going to be tough.
Yeah, man. I don't know. Yeah, that might take some. We'll have to see it play through in the next, you know, maybe in the next month. We'll see, like, you know, some other news about possible fights, because, I mean, it's not that far away. You know, we went a little bit over time for the show, but we had to because there was some important things to talk about. And, you know, I had thought that maybe the talk of, you know, this weekend's fights maybe would have went a little bit longer. But, you know, some of those things is a touchy subject. Just as when, you know, the previous card was here, I didn't really want to talk about that main event either because Stipe is my guy. So I'm not going to break down that fight too much longer. I mean, he lost because of eye poke KO. So, that's crazy.
DC actually admitted that. He was like, you know, I think the eye poke actually changed the title of the fight. I want to say he said that he did say that on the during the fight telecast Saturday.
He's a bum, bro. I don't think he wants a rematch Stipe because I think it's too much of a risk.
He ain't gonna do it, man. Like I said, man.
I mean, he said
the only thing he wants to do is fight Brock Lesnar, man. He won't even fight Gustafson. So what makes you think he's gonna fight Stipe? Hey, if he was to fight somebody, he'll probably fight somebody like Ngannou, or, you know, Derrick Lewis, or maybe a Curtis Blaydes, somebody who he think he can beat. He's not gonna fight Stipe, and he's not gonna fight Gustafson.
Yeah, it's too risky. He don't want to lose. He don't want any more losses on his record. I just got tired just thinking about DC. I'm kind of it's a snooze already. So, yeah, we gotta go.
We do.
So the Ped title is on the line. Brock Lesnar versus. We won't even go into it, but the Ped title will be on the line in the near future. Everybody, you know, I always say call up, stay positive. I'm not going to say the number because I always say it. The number's in the description. Call up and talk whatever you want to talk. Lee, you have any last words for the people?
Being that I didn't get to make a dedication today, I think this is what, episode 52 or episode 53?
It's 53.
Episode 53, I want to dedicate it to two people. I want to dedicate episode 53 to DJ Demetrius Johnson for his great title reign in the flyweight division. Came to a screeching halt, but it came to an end Saturday, in my opinion, with some spotty ref judging. But, you know, it is what it is. And I also want to dedicate this to, I can't believe I'm going to do this, but I'm going to do it. And Keys might fall out of his chair, but I'm going to dedicate this episode to President Trump. President Trump made some very disparaging comments this weekend about LeBron James, and it's amazing how every time he has a beef with a black celebrity or a black athlete, he always wants to call them dumb or unintelligent or have low IQ. But when we all know how great of a person LeBron has been to society and how great of an athlete he's been on the court. And just for him to say that just shows you that he's unaware and he's not in touch with what's going on in the world. So I want to dedicate this show once again to, on the positive side, Demetrius Johnson, and on the negative side, President Donald Trump, number 45.
And I want to dedicate this episode to my boy Tyron Woodley. He's the most dominant UFC fighter today and the best champion that the UFC has ever seen and might ever see. So, and also, shout out to Darren Till. I think his record is 53 wins in kickboxing. But you know what, though? Those 53 wins don't mean nothing because you never fought Tyron Woodley. Too bad he wasn't in kickboxing kick your head off. You'd be in trouble. Anyways, you had a good run. Darren Till, you have potential. You will do great things. But you know what? Like I said, you win some.
Not September 8th.
You lose some. Yeah, you win some, you lose some. And take it from be humble in victory or defeat. You will lose, but you will bounce back. It happens to the best of us. So shout out to Tyron Woodley. That's my dedication. And I think I'm going to work on trying to get him on the show. Because I think it's only rightfully so. So Lee and Keys, Real Talk. We over and out. Everybody have a good night.
Peace.
And wake up. Try to wake up and do some things tomorrow. Over and out.